भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text Number 15. Taddama Badyamanasya Svarbakasya Kritagasaha Divyangulaunam Abhutena Sandhate miyachcha gopika Taddama Excuse me Taddama badyamanasya Svarbakasya kritagasa Divyangulonam abhutena Sandhate miyachcha gopika Taddama badyamanasya Svarbakasya kritagasa Divyangulonam abhutena Sandhate niyachcha gopika Please chant. Mataji's, please. Synonyms, tattama, that binding rope, badyamanasya, who is being bound by Mother Yashoda, sa'arbakasya, of her own son, krita angasaha, who was an offender, viangula, by a measurement of two fingers. Unam, short. Abhut, became. Tena, with that rope. Sandhate, joined. Anyacha, another rope. Gopika, Mother Yashoda. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance of the width of two fingers. So, it doesn't mean this way. Two fingers, width means from here to here. Okay? Here, here to here. Not here, here. Okay? So that we understand. It's actually just a very small space. So, short by distance, the width of two fingers. Thus, she brought another rope to join to it. Please repeat. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of two fingers. Thus, she brought another rope to join to it. Purport. Here is the first chapter in Krishna's exhibition of unlimited potency to Mother Yashoda when she tried to bind him. The rope was too short. The Lord had already shown his unlimited potency by killing Putana, Chakatasara, and Trinarvata. Now Krishna exhibited another vibhuti, or display of potency, mystical power. Sorry. To Mother Yashoda. And he's thinking, unless I agree, Krishna desired to show, you cannot bind me. Thus, although Mother Yashoda, in her attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, ultimately she was a failure. When Krishna agreed, however, she was successful. In other words, one must be in transcendental love with Krishna. But that does not mean that one can control Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything himself. Sevana mukehi jiva dao svayam eva spuratidha. He reveals more and more to the devotee. He reveals more and more to the devotee as the devotee advances in service. Jiva dao. This service begins with the tongue, with chanting and with taking the prasad of Krishna. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhe hi jiva dao svayam eva spuratyada. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2. Who would like to give a translation of that very famous verse? Anyone? No? Okay. The way I learned it is that no one can understand Krishna by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to his devotees. He reveals himself according to their devotional service. And the way it reads in the actual Bhagavatam is no one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So, Srila Prabhupada is making it very clear that these pastimes cannot really be understood by one who is not one who is not performing devotional service. Otherwise, they will seem just like ordinary activities that any ordinary human being is performing. And yet, they are anything but that. There's so much going on underneath. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is doing. He's taking that which is underneath or innermost and bringing it to the surface for our education and for that revelation. So, am agina timadandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Again, I'll read the translation. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of two fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join to it. So here we have some very fascinating pastimes, or what is known as Leela. Leela means pastimes, it means play, it means frolic, it means having fun. This is all fun for Krishna. He's never upset, he's never disturbed, he's always peaceful, he's always joyful. And even by himself, he's always blissful. But his own bliss can be increased, ever increasingly, by the love of his devotee through their devotional service. And this is why he thrives so much on the association with his devotees, because each and every one of them, whether they are the little cowherd boys, whether it's Arjun, whether it's the gopis of Vrindavan, whether it's the parents, all of these persons are acting in some way as a means to increasing the innermost joy, innermost pleasure of Krishna, because they are all doing something that gives him pleasure. But more than that, they are doing it with a mood, with an attitude, with an understanding of total submission, total surrender, total sacrifice of themselves, never even thinking that they're doing anything, giving anything. All they are thinking of is one thing. Please, my dear Lord, help me. They're not thinking Krishna is the Lord. They're praying, please help me to make Krishna happier and happier, or help me to give him more and more pleasure, because that's all they live for. This is what Mahabhagavat is. They live strictly and only to give God more and more pleasure, even if they have to sacrifice their bodies, their minds, their intelligence, their life itself, and they consider that as nothing. And you know why? Because they consider that the love that God has given them in so many different ways, in so many different things, that the Lord deserves our complete affection, our complete surrender, our complete submission. He deserves it. We're part and parcel of Him. He's the all in all. He feeds us, He clothes us, He shelters us, He guides us, He gives us education, He gives us medication when we're ill. He's always taking care of us, even when we're not so good. He even takes care of those who attempt to be a little bit on the sinful and evil side. Nonetheless, that shows the vast ocean of compassion that He is, or the vast ocean of mercy that He is. Always hoping that the devotees will eventually see the light and realize that this material world can only give them more and more miseries, which come of their own miseries, which come from our own body and mind, miseries which come from other living entities, and miseries which come from cataclysms or catastrophes or the devas, who, just as we've been having over the past few days, any of you has been watching the television, it's amazing what's going on across the country. These are the adi-daivic types of miseries that people are suffering. Tornadoes all over, coming from Midwest, going east, going west, floods just everywhere, East Coast, West Coast. Right now they're having a big snowstorm in the East Coast. Mudslides here in California, floods in here in California. One minute you have your car, in your on the street, and 5 minutes later, it's floating down the street towards the river. So torrential are the rains, and just I think it was 1 hour, 4 inches fell. That's an amazing amount. So this is the result of sinful activity. Srila Prabhupada mentioned again and again, these type of miseries, they do come as a result of our destroying, killing, especially animals. Animals who love their life just as much as we do, but for the titillation of the tongue, kill them. Who cares whether you take the cow by the hoof and you pull him upside down, her upside down, and then slit her throat and then slit. Who cares? As long as I get mine, as long as I get my pleasure. That mentality causes persons to receive what's going on today. This is a punishment. And ideally what happens is that people begin to reset and rethink, did I do something wrong to deserve this? What could I have done? So that's where all of us here come in. The books that we have given out by the millions, many of which have been read, but many have been put on bookshelves. And that's where they get the opportunity to, when they're thinking, what did I do? And they're looking at the bookshelf, they're looking for an answer. And they pull out the book that you gave them, The Science of Self-Realization, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga. And they begin to browse through it. And they say, wait, that this makes a lot of sense. Maybe it's because I did that. Maybe it's because I'm contributing to the death and killing and pain and suffering of animals. Well, maybe I should consider this vegetarianism. At least that's a start, you see. So the important point is that all these things happen as a result of that. Now, we come to Mother Yashoda, and we can learn so much from her. Yes. So, first thing is that when she discovered that Krishna had taken a stone and thrown it against the pot that was holding the yogurt, and he caused a hole to appear there, what happened is that the yogurt came flowing out. And then Krishna stepped in it and he took it and put it in his mouth. Why did he put it in his mouth? Because Mother Yashoda had left him, because there was milk boiling on the stove and she wanted to stop the milk from coming down onto the floor. So she stopped him from sucking her breast and she went to the milk. So Krishna did a very beautiful job of acting, of pretending that he was angry. You know, Krishna doesn't have any reason to be angry. He puts on a show. He loves this different acting, making the devotees think he's feeling one thing, but yet he's enjoying what takes place. So he looks very angry. You know, he's biting his lip and his eyes are becoming red. And he takes the yogurt and puts it in his mouth and runs into the storeroom. And then he looks, how can I perform more mischief as a result of what Mother Yashoda has done to me? So he looks up and he sees all these swings of butter hanging there. So he gets this mortar, spice mortar. It's kind of like an hourglass, and turns it upside down, gets on top of it, and then sits there, and then puts his hand in the pot of butter, okay? And he starts eating it, pushing it down. And then the monkeys, they all come in from outside. And then so the Krishna's having a good time. Let's join him. So the monkeys come in, and Krishna, being very compassionate, very caring, very loving, he takes the butter and he's giving it to them, and they're just there, and it's one big panorama of screeching. You can just see all the monkeys jumping up and down, and he's feeding them. And then Mother Yashoda, when she comes in and she sees all this is happening, all the butter's all, you know, the yogurt's all over the floor, and she goes into the next room. And she's trying to find Krishna there. And Krishna, while he's doing all this, he knows he's been naughty. So he's looking this way and that way, hoping that maybe he won't get caught. You know, he's looking. And then finally Mother Yashoda comes in and he says, uh-oh. So he jumps off the mortar and begins to run. So she runs after him. She's heavy. She's not a little one like he. So he's running and running. And she's unable to catch him initially. And she's puffing and huffing. Perspiration's going down. The beautiful little flower garland on her hair falls. All of these things. So she's kind of, she goes, am I going to catch my child? Am I able to get a read? And then finally, Krishna, seeing that she so much wants to help him become a good boy. That's the whole point of it. That she will teach him a lesson. And he appreciates that because that's her love. And her love is, of course, to help Krishna to become not an upstart, not a rebel, as he's acting, but rather as a good boy, as a behaved boy, as a boy who is liked and enjoyed and appreciated and respected in the community. Every mother wants the child not to be grown up as a criminal, unless she's a criminal. So what happens is that he allows her to capture him, because nobody could capture the Supreme Lord. He's uncapturable. He's uncontrollable. He's omnipotent. He's faster than the fastest, faster than the mind. But he allows her to capture him. And as she gets close and grabs him by the arm, he begins to cry, and he admits, yes, I've made a mistake. He's crying, I'm sorry, sorry. He's in that kind of a mood. And she's looking at the tears which are coming down his cheeks, you know, and they have wear that, you know, mascara or collyrium, and the black lines are coming down. You've got these little rivulets on his face, and he looks absolutely gorgeous. He looks so beautiful. And he's crying, and his tears touch her heart and so deeply, so feelingly, that she has this stick in her hand and she just can't get herself to give him a little slap, either on the backside or on the hand. She can't do it because she just is melted by the love that he is exuding through his crying and activity. So she throws the stick down on the ground and she says, okay, I won't hit you, but I'm going to punish you. You have to be punished. Now Krishna is enjoying this. He loves being punished. That's again her love. The punishment is to make sure that he doesn't grow up to be, you know, a criminal. And he's enjoying that she's taking so much time, so much effort, so much affection, so much love, just to make him into a nice, well-respected child, and then eventually youth, and then eventually young man. So this is what he's appreciating. It doesn't end with his appreciation, though. Every time he's feeling her love, it's steering his love. And when his love becomes stirred, he expresses more love into her. And she feels that love. So there's an ambivalence. Ambivalence means two opposite emotions going simultaneously. On the one hand, she wants to punish him. She wants to hurt him. She wants to make him remember that he shouldn't do what he's doing. And on the other hand, she's helpless. She's controlled. She's captured by his love. But she knows she must continue in her effort to be a mother. That's what her business is. That's her rasa with Krishna. So she takes him by the hand and she lifts him up and takes him into the storeroom, and she brings him over to this spice mortar, which was over there. And she decides that, she says, okay, I'm not going to hurt you, not going to hit you, but I'm going to punish you so that you don't forget to not do what you just did. You broke the butter pot, you stole the butter, and this is not right. So I want you to remember this. So how do you punish Krishna? Well, he loves to play with his friends. He loves that they're always fighting and playing leapfrog and catching the tails of monkeys, making funny faces, playing blind man's bluff, playing bullfighting. So she's going to deprive him for a little while anyway of the pleasure of playing with his friends. So how does she do this? She's going to bind him to this mortar with a rope. Well, you know, in these storerooms there are plenty of ropes all over the place. So she grabs one rope and she ties it around the mortar, okay, around that, and then she takes the other end of the rope and she puts it around Krishna's waist, and she's going to take that end and tie it to the rope which has just gone around, to another section of that rope. And so she brings it closer and closer, and it's two fingers width too short. She says, wait a minute, I'm sure that it was long enough. Why is it short? Okay. So she goes, there's other ropes around there. She grabs another rope and she ties it to the first rope. And then after tying it to the first rope, she ties it first rope. Then she tries to tie it to the rope that is coming from the mortar so that she could tie Krishna to the mortar and then he won't move. But as she gets closer, it's two fingers, too short. She said, how could this be? This rope was at least 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet. I don't know how many feet it was. But how could it... So it's shrinking. Again, this is what Srila Prabhupada refers to as Krishna's vibhuti, his mystical power. He can take anything and he can shrink it down to nothing. He can take nothing and extend it unlimitedly. So he's exhibiting this particular pastime of shrinking the rope. Every time she takes the rope, she's tying it and trying to, and again, it's shrinking. And some of her friends are around there, they're watching this. And what's really fascinating and interesting about all this is that Krishna is standing there totally like the innocent boy, like he doesn't know what's going on, and he's wondering, acting like as if he were bewildered. What's happening? Who's doing all this? He's doing it. But he's acting, you know, he's play acting. And that's what Krishna likes to do. He likes to play act. Many of us have been in plays in grammar school or or in high school or in college. And when you're in a play and you get absorbed into a role, and if you glance out at the audience and you're doing a really good job, then people are just leaning forward and they're listening. They're hanging on your next word. They can't wait till they hear what you have to say. Or if it's a mystery, you know, they're biting their nails, or the knuckles are becoming white, or they're laughing at certain times when you're saying something humorous. So a person who's an actor, or anybody who's done that, you know that there's a certain pleasure in acting as someone whom you really are not. So Krishna is acting, he's acting like a naughty boy. He's not a naughty boy. He's the source of all morality, the source of all goodness, the source of all ethics, the source of all etiquette. And yet here he is acting like he's the worst of worst children. That's a lot of fun for him. He sees this as pleasure. But another thing is that, as Mother Yashoda is striving, taking one rope after another, she's sweating and her hair is coming on. She will not give up trying to enable her son to become well behaved. She won't give up. And Krishna is watching this, that this woman loves me so much that even if she has to pass out trying, she's going to get me tied. So what does he do? He allows himself to be tied up. You can't tie Krishna. You can't bind him. You can't corral him. You can't do anything to him unless he allows it. And as the verse says over here, he will not allow it unless there is devotional service, and the devotional service is pure, it's sweet, it's loving. Which, when he sees that, it arouses within him more love for Mother Yashoda. And that more love that he feels, he expresses into her heart. And when she feels it in her heart, she just goes on doing what she normally, does in her rasa. So Krishna allows her to tie him up, and finally, there he is, and he's there, and she looks at him, makes sure that everything is there, and then she leaves because he's finally gotten tied up. So we can learn a lot from this, that there are many nice things, good things, wonderful things that all of us want to do in loving service to Krishna. And sometimes we feel, we try and try, and we're not getting, we're not achieving, we're not attaining what we wanted to. And Krishna is testing our loyalty, our sincerity, our earnestness. Here, Mother Yashoda won't give up. She wouldn't give up running after Krishna. She wouldn't give up trying to tie him. We should always be thinking, when there are troubles, there are difficulties, trials, tribulations, problems, don't give up. We are servants of Krishna. It's not service for our own glorification, service to glorify Krishna. And Krishna is in charge, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Well, then, who is the cause? Let me hear it. Who's the cause of the results? Yes, at least a few people know. I'm glad. So, yeah, Krishna is the cause of the results. And since he's the cause of the results, then whenever a favorable or positive or successful result occurs, who do we give the credit to?
Krishna.
Yes. And that must be a conscious action. Not just, okay, he did something right, people praise us, people glorify us, people honor us, and that's not, no. In our minds, in our hearts, this praise, this honor, this glorification belongs to my spiritual master, number one, because I couldn't have Krishna without my spiritual master. And then number two, it goes from the spiritual master to Krishna. So therefore, Whatever we do, as Krista says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, do this for me. In this way, you'll be freed from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, give, 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 you will be freed and you will be liberated and you will come to me. This is Krishna's remark. And he also says to Arjuna, if I can remember it, on the battlefield, he's saying, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, with your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. And whatever you do, whatever you... No, that's not the verse I had in mind. Whoever at the end of his life quits his body... Whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So if we are trying, striving earnestly, and begging Krishna for his mercy, because it doesn't come automatically, it doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is to think of ourselves, think of our own glory, think of our own honor, think of our own praises, our own abilities. But if we get into the habit of thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna, go across the street, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Seeing the beautiful trees, that's Krishna's beauty, Krishna's creation, Krishna's love. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, we are associating lovingly with Krishna. Krishna sees that. When he sees that we keep making more conscious, attentive action, not just expecting that Krishna is going to give me multitudes of blessings, he will. But the more efforts we make, as Krishna says, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, in greater or lesser degree. So Krishna says, the more as we surrender to him, surrender means thinking of Krishna instead of thinking of our own little glories. And as we surrender to him, we think about him, think of his greatness, think of this wonderful pastime with Mother Yashoda, how she would not give up, how she would strive, sweat, perspiration, blood, tears, whatever, she will do her level best to make sure that her beloved child turns out to be the perfect child. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? Everybody agrees? Oh, I see a hand up there. Please give the microphone to Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to clarify where I never heard that the rope which Mother Yashoda was bringing was shrinking. I just wanted to know where that came from. The rope is shrinking. I heard the Krishna, his belly expands because he's as big as the universe, but I never heard that the rope was shrinking.
Well, how, if it's always 2 inches too short, how would it be 2 inches too short? It's just a logical deduction that one makes. In other words, if you bring a 6-foot rope and you tie it to one piece and then you bring it to another area, what happened to it? Where did it go? Had to go someplace. It went where Krishna wanted to go. He just made it smaller. Just as he can turn things into small things, turn some of the mystical powers. Hanuman, he made himself tiny, like a tiny little monkey or a little cat. And also he made himself huge, humongous, like a mountain. So those are powers that Krishna gives to his devotees, and Krishna himself, of course, has them. So therefore, it is simply a logical deduction. If you can come up with something better than that, please let me know. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Anyone else? No? No? Going once? Going twice? Going three times? Thank you very much. All glories to your service. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
I'm very happy to hear that, because I pray like anything for that to happen.
Really?
Yeah, no, nothing happens by itself. I get to look at you.
I hope that was the truth. It really inspired you. It served you with so much bigger and interesting vision. And really helped me. I'm making my dreams better. Thanks so much, Mike. God, keep up your wonderful experience.
Very enthusiastic presentation.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm looking at persons like yourself. It just generates it like the motor keeps going faster. When I see the devotees like yourself who are so involved in spreading this Krishna consciousness, you can deny it, but I know that you thanks so much. All right, great. How did your busy Saturday meeting go? That's great.
Yeah, do what is important to you.